Not long after prayer was sent out on behalf of his grandpa, Mr. Monroe McDowell, that he was found, and he also injured himself playing baseball, but he prayed and Jesus healed him within seconds. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. All right. Let me turn you off because you started acting up. Hallelujah. Sunday evening, for those of you who were here, the Spirit of God just led us in the direction of teaching on, sharing about the anointing of God and how it makes a difference. The results of it is that people will say, you're blessed. And we went into Deuteronomy chapter 28, particularly the first 14 verses, because they talk about the blessing of God upon his people. And God has never changed his mind about that. Just because we're under the new covenant, it doesn't mean that we can't receive the benefits of some of the promises under the old covenant. The scripture says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. He didn't redeem us from the blessing of the law. Amen? Amen? Okay. So the blessing is still good. We're even more blessed now. The Old Testament saints, they were able to experience some of the goodness of God. But God made sure that they wouldn't be perfected apart from us. And so it's not all about money or anything like that, but it's not God's will that his people perish, whether it be salvation, healing. Is it cold? Y'all got cold? Oh, it's loud too. I can get louder, Brother Joshua. I can preach if I need to. Praise God. No, some of them are saying it is cold. It's cold. Amen. Understood. But it's not God's will that we perish or that we lack anything. It's not the sole purpose for which Jesus came. The reason Jesus came was to seek and save that which was lost, which was the entire world, which was all humanity. He came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. But the scripture says, to as many as received him in John chapter 1, verse 12, to them he gave the power or the exousia, the authority to become sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. So here we are, even today, we believe on his name. We believe that salvation is in his name. We believe according to Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there any other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. When I start quoting those scriptures or thinking about them, they come across my mind. It's almost like it just compels you to say, Jesus is the only way. Amen. And it's not to be rude, not obnoxious, or trying to be, you know, cocky or arrogant or anything like that. It's just the word of God speaks for itself. You can look into commentaries. You can watch documentaries. You can even go to seminaries. Some call them cemeteries because they kill the very life and spirit of God in the person. You come in there excited about God, and then they teach you this doctrine, and then you go out questioning, you know, about God. But they leave you with questions. And even, you know, when you look at, like, okay, archaeology, when you look at, and I'm going to tie this all in. I got seven more minutes. When you look at discoveries that have been made, when you look at scientific methods and things like that, they still leave you with questions. You look at commentaries. I mean, you look at, like, Matthew Henry, some of his now, there's some profound statements that he actually has made. And one of them I've shared with you. Anybody remember which one that one is? What's that? Acts? No, no, it wasn't that one. It wasn't that one, but ask, seek not. Okay. It wasn't that one. It was this. He says, he says, I can't understand how a man can sit under the most lively ordinances with a dead, stupid, untouched heart. And that was like profound for me, for Matthew Henry to say something like that, because he's sometimes can be mild. But even in those things, they lead you to a question. It's like, you know, they say this, they give you this side of an argument, and then they say, but others think this. And so you're left with a question. It's like, which side am I going to go with? But the Word of God doesn't leave you with a question. It doesn't. And after it's all said and done, and people do their researches and things like that, there's still going to be somebody that will disagree with the research that has been done. But the Word of God is very clear. So neither is there salvation in any other name. There's no other name given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah. And if you don't want to perish, you must be saved. And the only way you can get saved is through Jesus Christ. He came, he died, buried 3 days. He came out of the grave on the third day, and he rose from the dead to die no more. And now all who put their trust in him will inherit eternal life, will spend all eternity with God. All of those who reject him will spend eternity in hell. There's no suspense. There's no purgatory. There's none of this stuff to where a person is just going to, you know, just hang around and or just be in a, you know, you got heaven, you got hell, and then you got an in-between zone. There's no in-between zone. There's no, like, demilitarized zone where you can just dwell in a certain place and there's no activity going on. It's like, no, it's either one or the other. And that's why Jesus came. He came to save us from going to the other so that we can go to the place where God wanted us all along. That's why he came, to reconcile us back to the Father. But he doesn't leave us any questions. He tells us only believe. He didn't say it to us directly, but he spoke it to an individual. And the same goes for us. Only believe. That's our only option. So even with the promises of God, like I said, he didn't redeem us from the blessing. He redeemed us from the curses of the law. He became a curse for us that we might come into the righteousness of God through him. So in sharing about the blessings of God, God said, I'll bless you in the city. I'll bless you in the field. I'll bless you when you lay down. I'll bless you when you rise up. I'll bless your kneading bowl. I'll bless your livestock, your animals. I'll bless. And it's like, what's the common thing? The common thing is the individual. Everything else that that person touches, just boom. It's because God puts something on the individual. And this is what he wants for his sons and daughters. He puts it on you. Like John, not John, like David said in Psalms 1. We'll go right there just real quick. David said this in Psalms 1. As a matter of fact, we're only going to look at one verse. You can read the rest of it. It's only 6 verses. But in verse 3, we just want to look at this part. At whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's the mindset of our Father concerning his sons and his daughters. It's not wishful thinking. It's not positive confession or positive thinking. It is merely the blessing. It is merely the anointing of God on an individual that whatever they do, it will be, it's got to turn around and work out in your favor. Paul said it like this, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Everything has to work together for your good. So when bad things happen to a righteous person, that bad thing has got to work together for their good, no matter how bad it is. That's why we don't park with the bad. You can park with the bad and become just as bitter and angry and upset and ugly as the bad itself. Or you can rejoice knowing, whoo, whatever it is God's got on the other side of you, it's got to be good. Because you are, I'm telling you, you're trying to push me to my limits. But because I know the truth and the truth has made me free, I know that you're not the end and you don't control my destiny. You got to work for me. You got to work for me. I'm employing you right now. As a matter of fact, I'm going to bench press you. Hallelujah. I'm going to bench press you. I'm going to build up my heart. I'm going to build up my faith. I'm going to build up my life in Christ Jesus. Amen. It's got to work for you because you've got an unction. God puts an unction on his sons and daughters. He gives us favor. Jesus, it says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and with men. He's our example. He's our head. He's our Lord. What God put on him, he's put on us. Now, what we do with it, that's on us. The one thing God's not going to do is come and live this life for us. Otherwise, why do I need you? I need you to glorify me, but if I got to come down here and do everything, I don't need you. I can find somebody that will believe me and will put to work what I put on them. Amen? Amen. A no is simply a delayed yes. You just have to find the right location. No. Ain't gonna worry me. There's a yes out there. The promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes and in him. Amen. There's a yes out there. You're just not the one. And I'm not going to beat myself or beat my head up against the wall trying to figure out why you keep saying no when God is saying yes. Amen. Does it make sense? And so the blessing and the favor of God is for us now. This is, see, when we walk in disobedience, we open up the door for the curse. That's the way God has set this whole thing up. It's a reward system. It's an honor system, if you will. I will honor you if you'll obey me. I will dishonor you if you will disobey me. But my honor is much greater than my dishonor. So he shows us what the dishonor is in the next how many verses in chapter 28 of Deuteronomy 28? 68 verses. Come on. The next 68 verses, it's all about dishonor. And dishonor comes as a result of a lack of obedience. Listen, there is no place on earth that you can find anyone in their right mind that doesn't want you to obey what they have established and set up. It's like going to a company, you get the job, and you go in there and you say, I'm going to do this my way. And they say, no, you're going to hit the highway. You can't work here. You're going to have to do what we, this is our company, this is our business, this is what, you know, this is what we do. If you don't like it, you should go somewhere else. Maybe you should go down the street and apply at another place. But because you've applied to work here, then you have to do it our way. Now, if your way is better to help us be better at what we do, then that's understanding, bless God. But I haven't found anybody that's more wiser than our God. Not even Solomon had all of the wisdom that Jesus had. And the scripture says Jesus has been made unto us wisdom. Praise God. Unlimited, untapped resource of wisdom. I mean, it's just there. Christ has been made unto us wisdom. We see what the wisdom of Solomon did for him. And I'm not talking about the bad part where he disobeyed God. And even that folly, foolishness. Because we disobeyed God. The blessing and the favor is in honoring God and obeying him. John said it like this. He says, Jesus says, if you love me, you obey my commandments. John kind of like piggybacks on that because I can't quote it verbatim, not right now. It just came. But John says his commandments are not grievous. Meaning his commandments are not a burden. They're not heavy. They don't make you sad and sorrowful. If they do, it's because we still belong to the devil. The commandments of the Lord, they're just a bear to the devil. He just don't want, man. But to a spirit-filled son and daughter of the Most High God, his commandments are a delight. We delight ourselves in the law of the Lord. That's also in Psalms chapter 1. And in his law do we meditate, ponder over, speak it day and night, declare it, mutter it under our breath. You know what? Instead of mumbling, murmuring, and complaining, mutter the word. Glory to God. Glory to God. Find a word. Get you a concordance. Get you one of those, what do they call them? I know what it is, but it's like not Strong. Strong's is a concordance, but it's along that lines. It's a topical. Get one of those topical type of it's not a commentary. Nave's topical Bible, if you will. Get a topical Bible. So in case, you know, you run into a topic that you don't have an answer for, get you one of those kind of Bibles that will break things down by subject matter, if you will, or break it down by, you know, a particular situation. And so when you find yourself, you know, you run into the roadblock, find some scriptures, put the word on it, and watch this thing turn around for glory and honor and praise. Yeah. Amen. It must be time to go. Brother Kwame and Sister Latika taking off on us, and, you know, they don't want y'all to say happy anniversary to them. They're trying to run out of here and, you know, praise God. I owe you one. I was so excited. I sent him a text yesterday. He just laughed and said, praise God, Pastor. But just thankful for what God is doing in their lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So God can say, you know, and I gave other examples and analogies, and it's like that for us. Whatever we do, it shall prosper. Hallelujah. Whatever. What if it don't work? Well, unless God, come on. I like that one. I forgot about that one. That was a good response. I'm glad you didn't forget. But, you know, it's like, make sure it's the will of God concerning you. God didn't call everybody to do the same thing. Just like he didn't make everybody to look like each other. I mean, we have a brain, we have a head, we have arms, we have, you know, we have those common components, but each of us is different. From the fingerprint to the, you know, the external features are different, but we're his sons and daughters. And so everybody doesn't have the same assignment, but whatever assignment God gives us, he's given us the anointing to fulfill it. So that whatever we do shall prosper. Some of us are multi-talented, very gifted. Some of us have a lot of abilities that we can go into different areas and arenas and be very successful. Or we can sit and be frustrated over one thing that ain't working and pound our heads against the wall. And God, and you know, just go to God, Lord, is this you? Because if this is not you, then I don't need to be doing this. Let me find out what it is you want me to do, and let me do that so that I can prosper. Because once you get to that place, I'm telling you, everything you touch, is like, it's not the same, okay? I'm not watering down God's ability, but it's like the Midas touch. Anybody know what the Midas touch is all about? Whatever you touch turns to, okay, you do. Amen. Now, we don't believe in that fictional type stuff, but for a believer, whatever he puts his hands to do, it prospers. We just need to be in the place where God would have us, and we just need to be about our Father's business as a priority. We must never forget, never get so caught up into this world that you start to forget about the things of God. That God's priority becomes low priority, and now it's your priority because you're so blessed now. This has always been the problem that God has with his people. They get caught up into the material blessings that they receive out of his abundant grace. Have the wealth, but don't let the wealth have you. Don't serve money. Make money serve you. Amen? We're in the wealthiest nation. We could have been born in the poorest nation. We're still the wealthiest nation in the world, but if we don't watch out, you know, we can lose it overnight. So we have to be careful in how we conduct ourselves and the things that we engage in and the connections that we make and establish with people, because not everybody is for God. And the last thing you need to be hooked up with is a Belial. B-E-L-I-A-L. That's a worthless person, male or female. They're used more by the devil than they are for God. You don't want to be hooked up with people like that. You want to be hooked up with people that are, their mind is in the right place. Their heart is in the right place. They love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and they're just all about their Father's business. They could be a lawyer. They could be a doctor. They could be a businessman, businesswoman. They could be a school teacher. They could be a custodian. Nope, not putting it down. But it doesn't matter. Whatever they're in, they're content because their priorities are right. They're not moved by the slightest little thing that goes wrong. Why? This has got to work together for my good. This has got to work together for my good. I'm not just holding on to this like this is it. This is my lot in life. No, this has to work together for my good. Amen? All right, stand to your feet. I've kept you long enough. Praise God. It's okay. Amen. Amen. Long ride home. Amen. We're in different cars. I got a phone. Where my phone at? Amen. Glory. Amen. Greatest cheerleader. Hallelujah. It's time. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time. It's time. It's time. It's time. Hallelujah. You know. And it's not just it's time, it's our time. It's our time. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. The worst thing we could do is back away from it, get distracted, and, you know, and just start floundering. If you don't pay attention to what's happening, you can easily get lost in the shuffle of everything else that's going on. Hallelujah. Hey, Sister Jenea, it's your time. Glory. It's your time. Hallelujah. Glory. Love you, Brother OCL. Amen. What did you say? That's most people would say, I love you too, Pastor. He says, good. I'm just playing with you. I'm just being a little facetious. But I do love you, and I know I have to release you so you can go home. But hold fast to this. God is doing something. And I admit, and it's a good thing. It's a marvelous thing. It's like this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. We're in a good place. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, simple, nevertheless, straightforward. The commanded blessing, the anointing to prosper, let it be on threshing floor tabernacle like never before. Father, that praise reports and testimonies start happening all over of the goodness of the Lord and what you're doing. Breakthroughs begin to happen for your sons and daughters like never before, what they have been believing for a long time. Now it shall come to pass. We honor you and adore you. We thank you. Watch over your sons and daughters as I speak the blessing over them. That the Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he might bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, that the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell, because you're the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of truth. The Lord bless you everywhere that you go, and whatever you set your hands to do, that you prosper in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Magnify his name. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. Tell your neighbor, get ready to prosper.